Judges chapter 5. Verse 1. Now you remember last week, Judges 4, there was the typical sin and get oppression from the king of Canaan in this case, and Sisera, the commander of the army. And they had a war, a battle. And after being oppressed, I think it was 20 years, they cried out to the Lord, which is what they do. And the Lord sent Barak as a deliverer, and Deborah was judging Israel at that time, but not in the military way. So Barak was called to do that, but he said, I'm only going to go if you go with me. So that meant that he forfeited some of the honor. Woman Jael was the one who put an end to Sisera. And so this is a song after that, verse 1, Judges 5. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers, I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways. The peasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. You gods were chosen. The war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people, bless the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, you sit on rich carpets, and you who travel on the road, sing. At the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places, there they shall account the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds of his peasantry in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. From Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek came down. Following you, Benjamin, with your peoples. From Machir, commanders came down. From Zebulun, those who wield the staff of office. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As was Issachar, so was Barak. In the valley, they rushed at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flocks? Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead remained across the Jordan. Why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by its lodgings. Zebulun was a people who despised their lives even to death. And Naphtali also on the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach near the waters of Megiddo. They took no plunder in silver. The stars fought from heaven. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon. O my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hoofs beat from the dashing of his valiant steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Utterly curse its inhabitants, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the warriors. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. She smashed his head, and she shuddered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he bowed. He fell. He lay. Between her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. Out of the window, she looked and lamented, the mother of Sisera, through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? Her wise princesses would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, a spoil of dyed work embroidered, dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord. Let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Let's pray once again. Lord, this song is an exuberant, happy song in the aftermath of a great blessing from you. And we praise you, Lord, for that, that this is what they could sing, that this is what you did, that this is how you responded to their call for help. And Lord, that we would have that joy of deliverance. Lord, we speak of the condition of the country. Well, what a great thing if we could rejoice in this country as pleasing to you. What a wonderful thing, Lord, if all the opponents of God, all who despise your word, were to repent and turn in humility before you for your blessing. And I pray, Lord, it happen. We've prayed about this virus, as Mike prayed earlier. We want it to be gone. And we want all the illicit use of it to be gone. Lord, we want to be able to once again go about our business, and that businesses be able to thrive, and that the economy come back, and that the people who have been frightened would be set at ease, and those who have gotten sick would be made well. But Lord, we mostly want from this a change of heart in our land. And we pray for that because, Lord, we think that is your will, that a land be turned to you and worshipers of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a kid, we were taught early on that we should say please and thank you. When you want something, you say please. When you get it, you say thank you. I don't know if they teach that anymore. I'm sure our people do. I don't know that we don't have a lot of people who say please and not thank you. Or they don't even say please. They just say, give me this, or give me that. And then when they get it, they feel entitled to it and don't even respond. They're mad if they don't get it, because they should have been given it without asking. But in our day, my day was please and thank you when it came. And that applies to God. And the normal way we ask God for things is not according to that. The normal way of praying to God is we pray to God for help in suffering. Now, I'm speaking of all the world basically is of this mindset. And there's nothing wrong if you seek the true God and ask him to alleviate your sufferings. It even says in the Bible to do that. So that is a good and right thing, to turn to the Lord. And God has revealed himself to us as someone who can be salt that way, who is as he is. You know, when we come into the world, we don't know who God is. We don't know what he's like. God tells us that. And we respond to the Lord as according to his revelation. We are blessed by having the Bible. But even if we had only nature, we would be responsible to respond to God according to his character. Because in nature, we could even see his awesome power and his majesty. People who make gods, they generally make a god that will comfort them in some way. But it's their creation. But God reveals himself to us. We receive revelation from the Lord. We don't put on God what he's like or what he wishes he's like or any of that. We're not the authors. God is who he is. And so when God reveals himself to us, he reveals himself to us as one who can be sought, who we can pray to, who we know can handle whatever we ask him to do if it would be his will. So once we know God, that's all we want. Once we truly know God, we don't want him to be anybody but who he is. And we learn that from Revelation. God, not the book, but the whole of Revelation, God tells us what he's like and people call upon the Lord. But making a request of God is only part of a proper response to God in prayer. The please part is fine, but the thank you part is often what is missing. Not always. And depending on the maturity of people who pray, a lot of people only call on God when they're in trouble. And that's all God ever hears from them is they're in trouble. And so most of the of church requests typically are of that nature. And the requests of people in the world are generally of that nature. They are in trouble. They need something. They pray to God. Nothing wrong with that, as I said, seeking the Lord. But that's not the whole thing. James 5, verse 13. I thought of that when I noticed the song here in Judges 5. James 5, 13 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. So James in that verse, James 5:13, says there are two practical responses to God and two common human experiences, in suffering and in gladness. And each of these experiences is to bring a direct response to God, is to direct us to God. If we're suffering, we must pray to God first, and then seek him afterwards. God is the one we are to call upon. And if we're cheerful, we're not supposed to just forget God until we really need him, quote unquote. And then we'll call upon him again, but we're to sing praises. So the Bible says we should say please to God and thank you to God. Or we should, in suffering and in gladness, pray to the Lord. And James says that. James commands that of us. James directs us to that. The Lord, by his Holy Spirit, in the pages of Scripture, invites us to come to him when we're suffering and also to praise him and sing praises to him when we're cheerful. That says a lot about the kindness of our great God. When we see in Judges here that they sing a song, it's not the only place in the Bible we see such a thing. Remember, Israel sang a song on the other side of the Red Sea. There are a number of places, Psalms are full of songs of praise to the Lord that are, in the context, things that happened in the lives of David and others that, who wrote about it, that they were blessed and they sang praises to the Lord. It's a very common thing in the Bible. But it says a lot about the kindness of our great God that he invites us to call upon him in suffering. It shows us that he cares. He's not saying, I don't want to be bothered by your little problems. He's saying, you got a problem? Tell me about it. And he cares not just as someone who can feel our pain or understand it, but also as somebody who can do something about it. When we pray to the Lord in our suffering, we're not just confiding in a friend who we get some strength from because they understand and support us, but someone who can actually change the situation, remove the sorrow, sustain us through it. Whatever it is that he wants to do, when we pray to the Lord, he can do whatever he wants to do in response to that prayer. And it's not just him, well, I feel for you, but also that I will be powerful and in that on your behalf. We can even further say that he wants to do that because he commands us in Scripture to call upon him. He commands that we pray. He wants to show himself mighty and alleviate our sorrows and support us in our weakness. He wants to do that. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God he is, that he wants to do it. It further shows that he has power to help. He doesn't tell us, you can call upon me and I can do something about these particular things, but I can't do anything about these other things. Like a doctor who's a specialist will only want to hear about your problems in the area of his specialty. The Lord doesn't specify, doesn't limit what we can call upon him for. He just says to pray. Is anyone suffering? Pray. Well, it's a pretty big thing. Pray. It's kind of a hard situation. Pray. There is not anything. The Bible is very explicit to us about it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord has moved heaven and earth to do whatever he would do in kindness to his people. And he wants to do that. It also shows his attention and concern for our spirits, our inner being, because suffering is not just an external thing. Often suffering is an internal thing. It may have to do with external matters. It may be brought on by things in the world, but sorrow is of the heart. When the heart is made low, there's a great sorrow in our spirit. This is showing us that God cares about that. His something that is hurting us. It's like a mother welcoming a crying child to bury their face into her chest and just feel his love and support. And the Lord is telling us to do that, that his concern is for our inner being, not just our externals. Also, we'll never find a more knowledgeable and compassionate friend than our God, because he already knows all the details of whatever it is we're suffering. And we'll never suffer due to an inadequate communication of the problem to him. We won't have a situation where he will say, now, I don't quite understand what it is you're asking me to do. He knows already. The Bible even says that the Spirit communicates with God, the will of God for us, with groanings too deep for words, Romans 8:26. So not only is he inviting us to pray, not only is he open to that and understanding of what we're going through and wants our spirits to be helped as well as our external situation, but he even prays for us through the Holy Spirit, so that the one who knows the mind of the Spirit knows exactly what it is that we need, even if we can't put it into words properly. And even though we fell willfully into sin, even though we rejected the clear command of God, the grace of our great God welcomes our petitions. He knows that we're but dust. So in this song in Judges 5, we find they're happy. And they do the second thing. They, after calling upon him to alleviate their suffering, now they sing praises to him. Let it never be said that Israel, as iffy as they were with the Lord, and how they went up and down, cold and hot, mostly cold it seems, and were always calling upon the Lord after they sinned, and then they would sin again and call upon the Lord, and this up and down roller coaster ride of unbelief that they live their lives by. They sang a song of praise to the Lord. May it never be said that Israel would ever be more of a singer of songs of praise to the Lord than we would. And when the Lord delivered Israel for 40 years from Sisera and the king of Canaan, Jabin, who was oppressing them, they sang a song. Now, I read the song to you, and it is poetic in some ways. It talks about the stars helping, the clouds, all of that. It's a poetical way of saying that everything was under God's power to help them. Even though they had people that they needed to be involved. Deborah had to be involved. Barak had to be involved. The tribes are mentioned in this song. Some came and some didn't. You may have noticed that as I was reading the song. Some did not come. Where were they? They said, well, they didn't come. Others risked their lives to come. And so there were enough people who came and formed an army, and they were still not as powerful in numbers, and they won the battle because the Lord is not, we'll see even more so in later chapters in Judges, the Lord is not in need of a certain number of people before he can work a work. They came, they fought. The times in Israel had become I guess a lot like today, where things that normally would happen weren't happening anymore because you couldn't get out and do things like you used to do. And that was the way it was in Israel because they were afraid of the oppressor. It's even worse in the next oppressor. So the Lord, when he was called upon, and they were getting exactly what they deserved, he showered the blessings upon them. He made the mountains quake. The mountains quake at the presence of the Lord, verse 5 said. And the Lord moved. And all the things that were bad, the Lord turned around. People who were feeble and cowardly, they gained strength. They were dejected. Now they're happy. And the people came. And people were impressive in some cases by what they did. But it was all attributed to the Lord. The Lord used all of these things. That's the way it is today. The Lord uses disciples. It's not that he needs us. He chose to use us. And so when things are done, when missions, when far off places are reached by missionaries, it's missionaries that have to go. The Lord does that. He did that here. He drove these people's minds to fully support without any thought of gaining some kind of booty from it. They went. The Lord moved them to go. Not all went, and they should have. Some apparently should have gone that did not. But the Lord moved people. Even this act by Jael. Now, if the wife of Heber, Jael, who drove the tent peg through the head of Sisera. I mean, she comes to my office and she says, you know, I think I'm going to have a visitor, the commander of the armies of the king of Canaan. I would not be able to tell her, listen, get him in there, give him some milk, let him sleep some, get a tent peg and drive it through his temple. That would not be considered proper counsel. What she did was literally murder. But in a time of warfare, she was putting it into a threat, and she's blessed for it. The Lord used her for that. The Lord can do that. He's the one that makes all these laws, and he's the one that is moving the things to do what it was. And it was because of Barak, who would not go alone, that a woman was given the honor. And this is what it was called, an honor of putting an end to the enemy threat. The end of the song was basically a little bit of a mocking of the fact that Sisera, who was a great enemy, and you got to read this like it was, he was a great enemy. He was not loved by Israel. And it talks about his mother looking out for him to come home and wondering where he is. And the ones with her, the princesses, would say, well, he's gathering the spoil. He's dividing the spoil. He's getting this or that, and that's what he's doing. So that was just kind of a mockery of the fact that he's not coming home after all the victorious battles that he fought. And the last verse of the song, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love you, love him, be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the Lamb was undisturbed for 40 years. It's a good prayer. We really, when we pray that people would be conquered by the Lord, we're generally not asking that they be killed. Now, we leave all that to God. We're asking they be turned. We're in these prayers we're making, we're asking that God would save people. That is more glorifying to the Lord as a public testimony than judgment. And we're told in the Bible that God desires judgment or desires mercy more than judgment. And so the prayer is, if you're going to stay an enemy of God, then remove the enemies of God. And we would pray the same thing. David had many prayers like this in the psalm. So that's the psalm. And so what we have is the thank you. And not just a thank you without emotion, but a thank you in exaltation of what the Lord has done. This shows how the Lord is the giver of good gifts and blessings. All good gifts come from God. Every good thing we have comes from the Lord. It may come through other people. It may come through other things. It may come through other circumstances. The Bible traces all of that to the sovereignty and providence of God. He removed a great burden from Israel, one that they deserved because of their disobedience, and yet he removed it. He doesn't delight most in our misery, even when we deserve it, but he was kind and gracious, and he removed a great burden. And in every element, he was involved. And it's appropriate to sing praises to the Lord. Let me ask you, are you happy? Have you had things happen, make you happy? Are you in a perpetual state of happiness, at least in something? You have a blessing that is a joyful thing. There may be other areas. Usually we don't have a time when we're either all sorrow or all cheerful. So there's a mixture. But what is it that God has done to make you happy, to make you cheerful? Things that your spirit is lifted by. Things the Lord has done for you. Even recent things, even things today. Have there been things that have been burdens in your life for a long time? The Lord has removed them. Or you remember a burden that was a long time upon you that was removed. When people give testimonies of how the Lord has answered prayer, or they give a praise report, that's one example of when we return thanks to the Lord with joy. People sing for joy when their football team wins. And in other occasions of good news in the world, we should sing to the Lord. His praises, when he works and providentially guides our lives and brings us joy. For some, when you sing, you'll probably want to sing along because you don't know how to sing very well. The issue here is not to sing pretty or to sing with a pretty song, but to return blessing to the Lord with joy. One of the most infectious things that we have is when people start laughing and are joyful. And it lifts our spirit, even if we don't even know what they're laughing about. And sometimes, especially this happened in school, somebody start laughing in class, everybody start laughing, you don't even know what you're laughing about. It is very infectious, and it's a good thing. The point is to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That is a proper way to live our lives. And if we look to do that, we'll find that actually there are more things to praise God for than we might have realized. When you're suffering, the suffering takes center stage. But even that, Paul says in Philippians that, you know, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. It delivers us even in a time when we are burdened down. Remember when David and Saul were out doing their battles? They came back into town, and the women would sing, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul did not focus on the thousands that he was credited for, but he was upset about the tens of thousands that David was credited for. But David, that would have been a pleasant song to hear. It's a pleasant song of the Lord to hear when we give him praise. It doesn't even have to be an official song. Just a heart uplifted to God in praise and thankfulness. That is pleasing to the Lord. Your child, if your child is thankful to you and would come to you as even a little toddler and express thanksgiving to you in stumbling words, that would make a parent's day. The Lord isn't looking for fancy. He's looking for heartfelt. The greeting card approach would be to do this only on a yearly basis on a specific day. But the Bible way is to do it every time you perceive the blessings of the Lord upon you, and that would be every day. We find in the Psalms that God is praised in the morning, and he's praised at night, and he's praised through the day. That pretty much covers it. Sometimes when you sing to the Lord, you'll cry. Not because you're sad, but because you're happy, because he's touched your heart. And though you're unworthy, he has blessed you, and it moves your heart. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm of David, it says, when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. He was in trouble. He was in a bad spot. And he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. This is David being happy. David being cheerful. David blessing the Lord. David being delivered from a bad situation. This are the wonders of God. That we can lay our burdens on him when we suffer and rejoice when he removes them from us. That when we are suffering, we can pray. And when we're cheerful, we can sing praises. The devil wants us to be miserable. The devil's all about misery. The devil's always seeking to do us bad. Love is to seek a person's well-being. The devil doesn't have that. The opposite of love, hate, the devil's all about that. That's to bring us misery, to discourage us. If we're down, he'll tell us something to make us more down. Keep us from hoping in the Lord. He'll tell us not to pray. Doesn't do any good. God won't answer. The devil wants us miserable. So let's stuff that right back into his face and bless the Lord. You can do that every day, in every place, at any time, because the Lord can read minds. And that is our command and duty in prayer. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Don't forget God when you're cheerful. The world does. They get over something, that's it. I preached in the jails, in Columbia, in college. A lot of things that prisoners vowed to God when they were in jail, they forgot when they got out. They weren't in line with what God wanted after they ventured forth. Pretty humble inside. We're to be those who call upon God when we suffer. And we're to be those who sing praises to him when we're cheerful. Let's pray. Lord, how often we've been cheerful, how often we've been happy, how often we've just had such a lightness to our on our shoulders because of your blessing. And Lord, we have had simple joys. We've had complex joys and happiness. And maybe, Lord, if we thought like the world does, it was not worth bringing to your attention because it was not a need. It was not suffering. It was not a request. I pray, Lord, you would gain praise from us. Thank you, Lord, that you have invited us to pray when we're suffering. Who could give us more comfort and help than you? Lord, also that we can understand that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And that, Lord, you're the author of all our cheerfulness and all our happiness and all our gladness. And how many times we've called upon you. This poor man cried, Lord, and you heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. Lord, make us to be those who sing praises to you. In Jesus' name, amen.